This morning's reading is from Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the reading, the word.
Thank you, Lynn. We thank God for the gift of God's word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been with you a little more than a year now, and I know I've shared a lot of my mother's pearls of wisdom with you. I probably have shared this one, but I'll share it again, even though she didn't heed it herself. But it was, you can always fall in love with a rich man as easily as you can fall in love with a poor one. So you can pass that on. She didn't do anything with it. But one of her other pearls of wisdom, which is just reality, and my brother and I talk about this a lot, is that she would say, rejection is part of life. And that's true. I mean, I don't know about your experiences, but I've known some rejection. It's no shock to any of you that I was rejected from the high school choir. I had my share of grant applications, online dating requests. But I gotta say, the worst rejections I ever had, I think, were from UPMC. You know, about 10 years ago, I had a piece of my liver rejected. I mean, come on! And then just last year, they rejected my kidney. I mean, you see these signs everywhere. We need organ donors. I'm trying to downsize. I want to help somebody out. It's rough. Some of it, I look back on it now, and it is funny. It is. But at some point, we all get turned away. From, as a child, you're not yet tall enough to ride this ride, to, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here, you're the wrong color, you worship God in a different way, you love in a different way. I'm sorry, you're not fully welcome. And this gospel story that we heard again this morning, it's very familiar. But this time when I read it, something new struck me. We know Jesus has been teaching for some time. The disciples, they know the crowd is very large. There's no McDonald's close by. They come to Jesus and they say, "Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Send the crowds away. Now, to be sure, they didn't mean that in a negative way. They were just being practical. I mean, they probably were hungry too, but this wasn't one of those times when the disciples were being judgy. They were just being realistic. "We don't have anything. Send them away." Jesus, he saw events playing out in a different way. He did not allow anyone to be sent away. All were fed, and there was food left over. And maybe it hit me so hard, this passage this time, that particular piece of it, the disciples telling Jesus to send them away and then no one being sent away. It seems that we are in a time in our society when so many people are turned away. And when so many people, at least that I talk to, feel like they have been turned away for whatever reason. Too old, too young, too different. Now, Jesus knows that this crowd is massive, 5,000 men plus women and children. He's aware that resources seem limited. Now, it would make sense that they vetted the crowd. We have a little bit of food here. We can't feed everyone. And so they very well could have said, okay, all of you who were born in Israel, you can be fed first. Or they could have said, all right, you've been here listening to this man all day long. All of you who right now promise to follow Jesus, you can be fed. Or something simpler, we'll feed the men. We'll feed only the women. We'll feed only the young, only the old. No. All were fed, and there was more left over. They were not even vetted. I've seen that happen this summer in a very strange way. We have a 10-week program every summer at the library. It's kickoff to kindergarten, rising kindergartners, and kids sign up, and we don't have any limits because we never have registration limits because, I don't know, we just don't. We don't want anybody to be turned away. And we usually get about 20 kids, and that's what we've gotten this year. 20 kids every week. They do register, most of them. And so we have ample space, ample supplies. We're prepared. But just before this program was supposed to start its first week, the Shaler School District approached us with a wonderful idea, and it really is. 3 of those weeks, could we bring a school bus so that these rising kindergartners could get their first experience on a school bus? The schools used to do it individually, but they weren't able to do that this year. So every week, we're getting 20 kids, 20 kids, 18 kids, 22 kids. The first bus day, 50 kids. None of them registered. There they all are. Lots of things going on. Well, it was a little bit stressful for the school and the bus drivers, you know. So they ran the bus trip twice. No big deal. And the second time, and there were 75 kids who showed up. And then last week, there were more than 90 rising kindergartners ready to show up and be on this bus. And that's where it really got tricky. And we were just kind of standing off to the side. I mean, we had our regular program, but the bus was the school district's, and we were there to be supportive and work with them. And you could see the administrators and the principals who were there getting together. What should we do? Do we only give rides to the Shaler kids? After all, this is Shaler area. Do we say your school district probably is going to have something similar? Do we say only kids who are rising kindergartners, no parents or siblings? Only the kids who haven't been on a bus before. Or we could run the buses three times, but that would mean we'd have to pay overtime. I guess it was a fine margin. So it looked like it was going to be only the Shaler area school district kids. Let's just take our kids, was said. But one little, and he's a big guy, but he's little in prominence in the district, just a principal. He said, you know what? They are all our kids. I will drive the bus myself. And so all of the children and all of the caregivers and all of the siblings beside, that bus ran until everybody got to go. And the school district's still there, and the library's still there. And now hopefully some little kindergartners won't be as scared on the first day of school. Nobody was turned away. I don't need to spell out how we can look at this from a national perspective. We can all draw our own conclusions. But I do invite you to think about how it looks from a personal perspective. Who are we called to welcome? Those who just look like us? Those who know God in the same way that we do? With Jesus, those kind of check marks, he doesn't make them. They don't even, those details don't even come into the conversation. Compassion came first. Hungry people, we feed them. And that's one of the reasons why I love the way that we celebrate communion here at Glenshaw Valley. It's open communion. And there are other churches, other Presbyterian churches that don't celebrate an open communion. And that's not to criticize them. There are traditions. There are bylaws. But here, the way that we do this, no one is vetted by God. Are you lonely? Are you guilty? Are you old? Are you young? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Manchester City fan? Are you healthy? Are you ill? Are you working, married, baptized, rich, poor? Jesus doesn't ask. Jesus just feeds. And I hope you'll hold that on your heart, in your heart. Sometimes I do wish that we celebrated the communion where, not because I have any kind of special power, but where I, as a servant to you, could hand you the elements. Because in doing that, I get to look people in the eye and I get to say, this is for you. You. So you're all invited to come and be fed because you are not and never will be sent away from our God.